Everyone, and welcome back to the book of Daniel. And I would ask you to keep your Bibles open there at page 882. Daniel chapter 6 on page 882. Did you know that Anglicans keep their Bibles on their laps? Did you know that? Okay, Anglican Christians have always been very big on Bible, on keeping our Bibles open and reading the Bible and understanding the Scriptures. And so keep your Bibles open. Daniel chapter 6, page 882, and there's a handout as well for you today. But what we're going to do before I pray, we're going to watch a short video that we're showing across all our congregations today about the book of Daniel. It's a family animation, and watch very carefully at how they tell the story of Daniel. Thanks, David. In Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul writes, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Daniel and for what we have learnt so far about you as the God of promise. Help us to see in Daniel chapter 6 this morning how your promises are completed in your Son Jesus. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Well, today we're exactly halfway through the book of Daniel. Can you believe it? Halfway through the book of Daniel, and we've encountered some significant events, haven't we? Here they are on the screen. We've heard about the Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace, Daniel in the lion's den, the writing on the wall, Nebuchadnezzar eating grass like an animal. Now, can you remember these events in order? Now that we've been looking at the book of Daniel for a number of weeks, I know I gave you this quiz 7 weeks ago, but can you place these four events in order? Turn to the person next to you and see if you can work it out. These four events in order. Which is the first? Which is the second? Which is the third? And which is the fourth? Okay, time's up. Time's up. I wonder how you went. Raise your hand if you're confident. Okay, three or four of you are confident. Oh no, I'll have to go back to Daniel chapter 1 again and go through. Oh look, okay, here's the correct order. Here we go, number one. The first out of those four events in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace. And then in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is made to eat grass like an animal because out of judgment because of his arrogance against God. And then last week we heard of Belshazzar and the writing on the wall, in Daniel chapter 5. And today we have Daniel in the lion's den. Now, Daniel in the lion's den is the most famous part of the book of Daniel. In fact, it's one of the most famous stories in the Bible. But you know the big mistake that we make as Christians? The big mistake that we make is that we can't connect Daniel to Jesus. We know the story, but we fail to connect the story to the greatest story about Jesus Christ. And that's what I'll be seeking to do today, to show the connection between Daniel, not just as a good story, but as a preview, if you like, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Daniel in the lion's den, as you know, the lions are only a small part of the chapter, right? There are only 7 or 8 verses in the whole chapter. And you'll recall that this portrait here is inaccurate. Why is it inaccurate, Les? Because it depicts, it depicts Daniel as a young man. He looks about 30 years of age there. But we know that Daniel was not a young man by the time we get to chapter 6. And I appreciated the animation today. Did you notice how accurate it was? It spent a lot of time at the beginning of the video talking about how Daniel had been there a number of years in Babylon through the reigns of a number of kings. And he had a long beard and he was looking old, right? Well, during the week, I grabbed one of my son's Bible story books. I don't read them Bible stories in quite the same way these days, but here's Samson on the front cover. But on the back cover is Daniel in the lion's den. Now, the problem with most children's Bible stories is that they don't always draw the pictures in the way that they should. And so here's how the young Daniel looks in the book on the screen. There he is, 45 years at the outside. But we know that Daniel is actually much older by the time we get to chapter 6. Remember the historical timeline. Nebuchadnezzar begins his rule in 605 BC. And in his first year of his reign, he takes over Jerusalem and brings Daniel and his friends to Babylon as young men in the year 605. But now in Daniel chapter 6, we have a new empire in Babylon, the Persians. And Daniel is still there in 539 BC. Okay, now do the maths. 605 to 539 is 66 years. Daniel has already been in Babylon for 66 years. He comes as a young man, probably in his mid or late teens. So he's well into his 80s by the time we come to Daniel chapter 6. And that changes the whole way you read the story. Because this is not a story of a young man having faith in God. This is a story of a seasoned believer having faith in God. Okay, imagine John Emmett, right? The age of John Emmett. How old are you, John, this year?
84.
Okay. Now, Daniel would have been John Emmett's age in Daniel chapter 6. And like John Emmett, a seasoned believer, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for decades. Daniel was a believer whose life had been at risk and yet still trusts the true God. And I think that that's remarkable. When you read Daniel chapter 6, this is a story for seniors. Okay, one day, maybe during my so-called retirement, I might write a book, Bible Story for Seniors or something like that. And Daniel will be the first chapter, Bible Stories for Seniors. Of course, every story in the Bible is for seniors, but Daniel is in his 80s, at least. And he shows this robustness, doesn't he, in his spiritual life. He's a man of Christian character. Now, in years to come, you know, in 50 or 100 years' time, when people write books about our generation today, I wonder how they'll describe Christians in 2026. Do you think they'll describe Christians as robust? I'm not sure they will. You see, so many Christians today are fragile, lacking resilience. Daniel is a remarkable example to our generation, a man of faith in the Lord God of Israel. But you may have missed something else in today's story as well. And that is, there's a type of deja vu. You know what deja vu is, where you feel like you've been there before. Well, when you get to Daniel chapter 6, it sounds a very familiar story because there's lots of similarities between Daniel in chapter 6 and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in chapter 3. Okay? Chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are thrown into the burning furnace. In chapter 6, Daniel is thrown into the den of lions. In both chapters, we have faithful believers in the Lord God who are threatened with execution. And in both chapters, we have these faithful believers being rescued by God. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are rescued by the fourth man in the fire, as Johnny Cash would put it, right? By the fourth man in the fire. And Daniel is rescued by the same God from the den of lions. There's a remarkable parallel structure, which I'll talk about more next week when we come to Daniel chapter 7. But there's remarkable parallels between the chapters of the book of Daniel. But of course, there are differences as well between chapter 3 and chapter 6. There's a different king, a different empire, and of course in chapter 6 we don't see Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego around. Perhaps they may have died by this stage. We just have Daniel. Daniel, the man of faith, who is at risk of death for praying to God 3 times a day. Now, you and I have trouble remembering to clean our teeth 3 times a day, right? But we're told in this chapter that Daniel prays to God 3 times a day. It doesn't mean that he didn't pray at other times. It just meant that he had 3 particular parts of his day that he sets aside for communion with God in prayer. Notice verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to suggest to you this morning that when we look at chapter 6, our eyes often go to the den of lions. Right? But that's not the focus of the passage. The lions are not the focus. The focus of the passage of the chapter is the faithfulness of Daniel. And the key verse in the whole chapter is verse 10. This verse. Because this verse explains everything. It explains the character of Daniel. It explains the reason why his colleagues want to put him to death. And it explains why he ends up in the lion's den. Verse 10 is the key verse. He prays 3 times a day with thanksgiving. And you can tell a person by their prayerfulness, can't you? If you want to know what a person is like, listen to their prayers. And therein you have the difference between personality and character. Sometimes we get confused between personality and character, don't we? But they're 2 different things. Character is who we are before God. Personality is how we present to others. But character is who we are in our hearts before God. And did you know that it's possible to go to Moore College and to study 4 years at Moore College to get first class honours in a Moore College theology degree and yet fail college? Did you know that? Because the study of God in His Word is not about information. It's not about qualification. It's about shaping of character. So important, isn't it? If you study God's Word and it does not shape your character, then it has you, not God's Word hasn't failed, but you have failed. I have failed to understand God's Word. Very important to understand that. Daniel took a stand on his knees. Daniel took a stand on his knees. And notice in verse 10, if you just bring that back again, David, verse 10, the previous one, brother, if you don't mind. Notice that verse 10, it says at the end, as he had done previously. This was no new thing for Daniel that he prayed three times a day to God. It was something that he always did, as he had done previously. It was something that was ingrained within his own life as a believer in God. But of course, there's more to verse 10 as well, and here's the next slide. Notice that Daniel goes to the windows in his upper chamber, and the windows are open toward Jerusalem. He prays in the direction of Jerusalem. Now, you and I don't pray in the direction of Jerusalem. We don't need to pray in the direction of Jerusalem. But Daniel prayed in the direction of Jerusalem because in the Old Testament, Jerusalem symbolized God's promises. Zion, which was another name for Jerusalem, was the place where God symbolically exercised his rule of the world and his people. But of course, now Jerusalem was in ruins. But Daniel still prays in the direction of Jerusalem. Why? Because he believes God is going to keep his promises. He believes that even though Jerusalem is a pile of rubble, one day God is going to bring deliverance from Jerusalem. One day there is going to be a deliverer that would come from Jerusalem. And of course, you remember the Sunday before Easter, don't you? When Jesus rides on a donkey, on a colt of a donkey into Jerusalem, he rides as the deliverer. The deliverer that Daniel was praying for in Daniel chapter 6. That's why he prays toward Jerusalem. I mean, today Jerusalem is just like any other city. I mean, it's of historical and archaeological significance. But we don't view Jerusalem like Old Testament believers view Jerusalem, because our Jerusalem now is the heavenly Jerusalem. That's what where our focus ought to be. But for Daniel, he prayed in the direction of Jerusalem because Jerusalem symbolized God's future deliverance of his people. And so the story continues, and Daniel ends up in the den of lions. Okay, you awake now? Good. I love that. I had great fun during the week preparing that. Daniel is thrown into the den of lions. Why? Because his wicked opponents force the king's hand. And he's thrown into the den of lions. But notice that the best is yet to come. Have a look at verse 19. At the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever." Imagining hearing that voice. "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. You see, Daniel is shown to be in the right. Daniel is shown to be in the right. A word that the Bible sometimes uses is vindicated. Daniel is vindicated. But not only is Daniel vindicated, but God is vindicated. In verse 25, King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." Notice what the king does. He does what Nebuchadnezzar did. Remember, when Nebuchadnezzar came to realize how great God is, he tells his empire about it. And now Darius, the Persian, does the same thing. He issues words of great praise to God. And what an encouragement this story would have been to the Jewish people in exile. What an encouragement to God's people at any time. But remember what I said at the beginning of our sermon today. The most important thing for us about this story is not about the faithfulness of Daniel, as great as it is. The message of this chapter is not about the importance of prayer, although it does teach us lessons about prayer. The most important thing about this chapter is seeing how it connects to Jesus. Now, what I want you to do is turn to the person next to you and just share how you think this story connects with Jesus, and we'll see how we go. Go ahead and do that. Okay, I wonder how you went. As Christians, we don't read the Bible like any other book. Okay? What I mean by that is that when you get a book, what do? You start at the beginning, do you? Right? Start at the beginning and go to the end. But Christians don't read the Bible from the beginning to the end. We start with the New Testament and read backwards. Okay? As Christians, to understand the Old Testament, we read backwards with our Jesus glasses on. Because if you just read the Old Testament, without reference to Jesus in the New Testament, you're just reading it like a Jewish person would read the Old Testament. But Christians have the New Testament, and so we read the Bible backwards. Critical to understand that. That's why people learn all sorts of Old Testament stories, but they don't see the connection with Jesus, because you've got to read the Bible backwards. Okay, really important to understand that. And so here are some of the connections between Daniel and Jesus. Both Daniel and Jesus are faithful to God. Daniel is betrayed by jealous leaders. Jesus is betrayed by jealous leaders. Daniel is arrested after praying. Jesus is arrested after praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Daniel is without fault. Jesus, of course, is without fault. Daniel relies on God to deliver. Jesus relies on God to deliver. Daniel is alive at sunrise, and Jesus is alive at sunrise. You see what I'm trying to say? The story of Daniel, from a Christian perspective, is meant to give us a preview of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, we have the story of Daniel, which of course tells us great things about God and about being faithful under pressure. But the story of Daniel is meant to alert us to the fact that a deliverer is going to come from Jerusalem, who would be someone even more faithful than Daniel, who would even achieve more things than Daniel, and who will be vindicated just like Daniel. And so Daniel is a little preview of the story of Easter. And this is the wonderful thing about the Bible. The Old Testament points down to Jesus. It doesn't just point to itself, it points to the New Testament. And you understand the Old Testament by reading the New Testament. There's an internal coherence in the Scriptures. The Bible holds together. And so one of the things I teach at high school Scripture, I started high school Scripture this week at Sylvania High this term, and I said to the Year 7 students that the Bible has two Testaments, Old Testament, New Testament. How many books in the Old Testament? 39. How many books in the New Testament? 27. How many together? 66. I say to the students, there's 66 books in the Bible, but it's all one book. One book from the one God about the one way of salvation through the one Saviour, Jesus. It is one book, and it all points to Jesus. And the story of Daniel doesn't just point to the character of Daniel and how wonderful he is, and that's where our Sunday school stories often leave it. But the book of Daniel points to someone who is even more faithful. And here's a difference between Daniel and Jesus. Jesus would actually die when he was thrown into the lion's den. His equivalent of the lion's den. When he was crucified on the cross, unlike Daniel, he actually died so that you and I would be forgiven. And so in Romans chapter 5 we read, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Who is the Christ? The deliverer. The deliverer who comes from Jerusalem, from Zion, who died on the cross for our sins. Have you ever heard of the saying, don't overpromise. You ever heard that? Sometimes people overpromise and underdeliver, don't they? Overpromise and underdeliver. Well, God is not like that. God doesn't overpromise and underdeliver. God is a God who simply promises and keeps his promises. Huh? God is a God who simply promises and keeps his promises. And we are called to wonder and to worship this God. You might remember our hand. God asked God, what if I do, what if I don't? Remember that? Well, on the back of your sermon outline today, you'll see how those 5 points are explained. What is the good news? The good news to which the story of Daniel points. God, this is God's world. He made it and he's in charge of it. God has declared his son Jesus to be in charge of his world. We know this because God brought Jesus back to life again after he was dead. Jesus has the right to run our lives. He is our rightful ruler, us. Everyone is rebellious to the fact that Jesus should run their lives. They may express this in open hostility or by passive indifference. In either case, the rebellion is real. God calls on us to stop rebelling and to turn back and submit to Jesus as our rightful ruler. What if I don't? Well, if a person will not submit to Jesus but continues to rebel, in the end they will be overthrown, because Jesus really is ruler in God's world and the rightful ruler in each person's life. What if I do? If a person does stop rebelling and turns back to submit to Jesus as their ruler, they are treated as if they had never rebelled. They are forgiven because of the death of Jesus on their behalf. Raise your hand if you've got a fridge at home. Anyone got a fridge at home? Okay. When you get home today, stick this on the fridge. Okay, get a fridge magnet, unless you've got one of those terrible stainless steel fridges. Fridge magnet and stick it on the fridge. All right? Because this is the good news. The good news towards that the story of Daniel and all the stories of the Old Testament prepare us for this news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who died for us on the cross, but who was shown to be in the right, who was vindicated by his resurrection from the dead. You won't forget Daniel in the lion's den now, will you? Let's pray. Pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this reminder today of how the Bible holds together. Help us not only to be prayerful like Daniel, help us to not only be faithful like Daniel, but Father, help us to remember the most faithful one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now seated at the right hand in power. Father, we pray that we might trust and follow him. Please forgive us our sins and help us to trust and to follow Jesus as our ruler. In his name we pray. Amen.